think we underestimate the value of culture, really, and how it enriches our lives, you know. I know it's often dismissed by economic rationalists as kind of, you know, wasteful or that, but then the city is just cold. There's just shops, and how we interact with each other is in some retail experience.
Walking around Sydney, you don't have to travel far before stumbling across a bowling club. That's bowling as in lawn bowls. I've probably conjured up imagery of a very English scene. People dressed in blinding white outfits, sipping tea out of China cups. But it actually has a long history in this country. The Australian Lawn Bowls Association was established in the 1880s. But the sport really took off after World War II, with as many as 800 clubs operating in this state. New South Wales now has about 500 clubs, many of which are struggling to make ends meet. But some are reinventing themselves as community venues that are a unique part of the musical landscape here in Sydney. Welcome to Behind the Scene. This episode is about the bolo. I'm heading to the Petersham Bowling Club on a hot and windy Tuesday afternoon. It's nestled away in the back streets of the suburb. I pass terraces and Madagascan jasmine that is just beginning to flower. School children are swarming out of the nearby college, heading home. The club is a humble-looking building, perched a little way back from the street. It has existed since 1896 in this spot. Inside is complete with elaborate purple carpet, a bar, and windows overlooking the umbrellas and bowling green outside.
Can I just get some levels? Where are we right now, George?
Okay, where are we right now? Yeah. Like, as in levels? Well, we're levelling in at Petersham Bowling Club.
Yeah.
We're in sunny Petersham, obviously. It's a good place for the Petersham Bowling Club. Of course, it'd have another name, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It would, probably.
Probably be the Stanmore Bowling Club or something, yeah? Stanmore doesn't have a bowling club.
Yeah.
No. Maybe it did one day.
This is George Catsey, the president of the club. We're sitting in the main room over a schooner. George has been involved with the PBC for 13 years, rescuing it from near death.
The history of this club is that it was failing miserably in that with the old guard and the previous board. Really, the only thing they thought they could do was sell it to developers, because the club actually owns the land, and so sell it to developers. So the clubhouse he's sitting in at the moment was to be demolished, and the top green demolished and put 17 townhouses on it, and a new clubhouse built on the bottom green with a fake green on the roof. Mm-hmm. So that actually activated all the local sort of residents and went, whoa, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And we became involved in this bit of a tussle where we sort of argued that was not necessarily the best thing for the local area. And that was when over 2 years really, and sort of got knocked that back. But eventually, after a very sort of tense sort of play, if you like, we voted all their propositions down, which were all involved development, and we spilled the board and we basically took it over. Local community. Yeah.
They saw the bowling club as a crucial piece of community space and they took it over with that in mind.
Right. Did you have an ethos coming in?
Yeah, we did. I mean, we came in on, the singular thing, which was to preserve the open space. We saw this open space as being valuable, and we wanted to preserve it. We wanted to give it a go, if you like. Find, we wanted to find a way to make this place work, to keep the open space. So that was what we initially came in with. That's kind of our initial motivator.
George also liked the historical element.
For me, it was also kind of the loss of the club facility. There's something historical here. I quite like old clubs. If I'm travelling, I usually stop into the bowling club or some old club and have a meal or have a drink or whatever, wherever I'm at. I just quite like it. And this had a charm about it. It's not a pretty place. It's not even historically architecturally interesting, but it's got but it's got other things about it. So
George and a team of committed Petersham locals set to work keeping the club afloat, volunteering their time and trying new things, like taking out the pokies.
Trying to save the place, and people wanted to support that. But really quickly, within the first 6 months, we became poker machine free. So we got rid of the pokies, which offered two things. We actually had to sell off our licences, so that gave us a little bit of cash just to kind of hold our position. And then, but we were totally against them anyway. And then we were loud and proud about that. And we broadcast out that we were a club that had gotten rid of the poker machines, and we were one of the first to do that. So there was a huge upswing when we did that, and people started to come from way out just to support us.
Yep.
Go, wow, good on you. And there were a lot of people who wanted to go to places that didn't have poker machines. And they wanted to support that. A lot of people don't like poker machines, you know. And so we were one of those clubs. And so we started to get people coming in from longer distances to come in. So
they made the space kid-friendly.
What we did as well is very early we kind of allowed kids to run on the top green, which was a huge attraction for families to come in. So basically we're a park with a bar attached to it. So it's perfect. So suddenly all the kids could run up there and the family could sit here. Then families used to, you know, heard about that. So there's kids kicking soccer balls out there, and we still do it. Kids kicking soccer balls, families sitting here, young people playing, kids lying on the top green. Sometimes there's still some bowls going on. We don't do competitive bowls anymore. We just do sort of social and barefoot bowls.
Yeah.
And you don't care as much about the quality of the green. We've got them at a pretty good level, but they're not competitive.
At this point, a huge plane flew overhead.
Really well, and was about.
Sorry, one second.
It's the Petersham Pool, as we call it.
Yep, the Petersham Pools. And they added music.
So it's really about 5 years, probably five, I can't give you an exact, probably about 4 or 5 years in. One of the board members came on, he was a volunteer, and then he came on as a board member, was kind of a musician, and then he started to bring more music into the venue.
First, so blues and roots, attracting crowds through the difficult winter months.
And where we had the poker machine.
And then a little bit of everything. The music got so popular that they decided to build a second stage.
Sort of we diversified the music, changed our booker. The previous board member was also the booker whilst being...
Diverse music, lack of pokies, a kid-friendly space have all increased the popularity of the club. But what else was driving this new crowd to come here?
In terms of a space like this, like, why do you think it is so important to have in a city? You sort of mention it, you say, you know, it's not soulless. You're kind of alluding to it, but can you expand on that?
I'd like to think it's more than in a city. I'd like to think it's universal, where a country town could reinvent itself and find a space. I think we underestimate the value of culture, really, and how it enriches our lives, you know. I know it's often dismissed by economic rationalists as kind of, you know, wasteful or that, but then the city is just cold. There's just shops, and how we interact with each other is in some retail experience. And I don't think that's necessarily conducive to healthy societies. So I think what we have here, and what I've encouraged, and what, you know, the board and people who come here is that in a place like this, because we have a range of ages, we have a range of, I suppose, interests, people coming in with different interests, even different musical styles, they all have to bump into each other because we're a small space. So they kind of bump into each other. And it's through this interaction with each other that we kind of get to know each other. And we go, oh, you're all right. You're a kind of a pseudo wannabe rock band, and there's a 9-year-old kids party right next door. Good luck, guys. Go for it. And they have to kind of work it out. And it's my analogy is that it's like having either a share house with one bathroom or growing up in a family with only one toilet, you just got to work it out. You got to negotiate it. Because if you've got, if every house has four bathrooms and three people in it, no one ever talks. There's no negotiation going on. But it's through bumping into each other and having to kind of accommodate each other, we kind of, the world's a better place. There we go. It's probably my philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the more we can bring people through here, all different types, and we do get all different types of people through here, from corporates as well. You know, some of the big end of town comes in here to have training days and things, and they love it. They just love getting out of the city. So I think that's ultimately the ultimate philosophy of this place.
The feeling in this club is something you don't get from a lot of licensed spaces. It feels genuinely respected by its community. It feels part of the community. Sort of like the best pubs in England. Like someone's living room. You can sort of pitch any kind of event at the PBC.
We also have our own events where we're kind of open to anything. I say yes to anything, really. As long as you can kind of convince me or the board, you know. A few years ago, one of the previous managers said, "Oh, what about a medieval day?" I went, "Yes, absolutely." I said, "I'll get the costing on it, but I said, I'll only agree if you get me a falcon. I want falconry." He said, "I'll get you a falcon." And he got me a falcon. So we had a medieval day. It was fantastic. We got this medieval reenactment here, and we did it one year. It was fantastic. Mind you, the cost of the falcon meant it was cost neutral for us. But it was a great promotional sort of thing. It was just something really different, and which was really good. So, again, it just brings another crowd in here. So they had a second medieval day about 4 weeks ago. No falcon, but two medieval groups came in and did reenactments. It was huge. We've got a country fair. We've put that on ourselves. We had sculpture prizes. We do a huge Christmas party here. We have a big water slide coming in. And,
wow.
And we just give it away for free. We don't charge anyone for that. So we're really open to kind of channeling it all back.
Sydney is embracing these community spaces because it's so needed in the increasingly commercialised and regulated cityscape. This is the last instalment of Behind the Scene. And I thought I'd end on this positive note from George and the story of the Petersham Bowling Club, because it shows you can legally work around the red tape in Sydney and build a community venue which is ethical and a good time. Well, I think it's about time for a beer. You should go out and experience some of these venues. This was the Behind the Scene podcast with Niall Hoskin. For more podcasts, visit next.afters.edu.au/nextpods.